Okay. Good morning. Masechet Yoma Daf Lamed Aleph. Especially Chodesh Tov, and we've never, please God, a quieter day than we had last night. So we got up to Amar Abaye Rav Yosef. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud of Lamed Amud Bet. So we saw yesterday a machloket, a couple of way machlokets here with the Tanakam. We had a Mishnah. We had a brighter actually. About at the bottom of the first third of the Amud, with Metzora Tovel Bo Mebeshar Nikon, Rabbi Yehuda said that any tzarich tvila shekvar taval meirev. Right. So one thing Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need to tovel the Metzora because you already toveled yesterday. Then we saw another brayta where we said over there that it's only the, why is it called Shar Lishkata Metzorain? Because then the Metzorain Torah really said no, not only the Metzorain, everybody tovels there. So we see a couple of machlokot between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Come on, like this. Amri Abaye Rav Yosef, Neima Rabbanan de Pliga Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, in that first brighter where the brighter says there, Tanakama says that you got a toivel to go into the mikvah. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you don't have to toivel because the Torah has already got toiveled yesterday. He says, let's say that that Rabbanan who argues with Rabbi Yehuda over there is like Ben Zoma's Sfirilu. Why is it like Ben Zoma? Because Ben Zoma says everybody has to toivel to go into the mikvah, to go into the Azara, to go to the Harabayit. Even if you're a Tahor, you got a toivel. And that's what Rabbanan says over here, that the Metzora, even though he toiveled yesterday, has to toivel again and on the eighth day. They hold like Ben Zoma. That makes sense, right? So now the question is, so if everybody has to toivel, then why is that brighter taught specifically about a Metzorah? Why do they learn the din through the din of Metzorah? It says Metzorah Tovel, which is not toivel. If the machloket is that everybody has to toivel, so everybody, why dafka a Metzorah? And he said, if you want to say that they agree with Rabbi with Ben Zoma, then why do they choose Metzorah? Lohodiacha kochod Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we've seen this type of Lashon before. What does it mean, Lohodiacha Kochod Rabbi Yehuda? They chose the Machloket, Dafke, the one spot where Rabbi Yehuda, you can see, it's at almost at the extreme of the Machloket. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, even a Metzorah. Now, what's the idea of a Metzorah? Right? Look at Rashi over here. What does it mean, Kabin Zomas Vida Hudakhtan, Lohodiacha Kochod Rabbi Yehuda? Look at Rashi. The Pligger Rabbi Yehuda, but in the Kaim, the Kaim, the Tzor Tovel, met, Keben Zomas Vila, who Amar Doraita Hilachem, Ala Kol Adam, Ben Zomas, everybody has to go to the Mikveh before they go to the Arabite, Hilchach Loshna Tavel, maybe Erev Loshna Lo Tavel. But it's the difference if the guy Tovel didn't Tovel, he has to Tovel. Vela Vareba and the Pigger Rabbi, the Mishta Kedan, the Midot, or Dilma Chadatanehi, Vesharim, okay, I don't want to get that right, I'll swear the short way, the long way, we'll go the short way, right? Or Dilma, Shani Metzora, or maybe no, maybe you can't prove that these Chachamim over here agree with Rabbi Yehuda, with Rabbi Ben Zoma across the board, that everybody has to toivel. And yeah, they've got a separate machloket, a unique machloket in the context of Metzora. And why do they say yeah, Metzora has to toivel? Because a Metzora is being Tamei for so long, and Avatuma, that he's no longer even aware of Tumah any longer. He's not scared anymore. He becomes Tamei. He doesn't worry about Tumah any longer. So there's a greater chance that he became Tamei. That's why you got a Toivel. And therefore, it's unique in Metzora. You can't say anything about the rule of Ben Zoma that everybody has to always tell to come to the Beit Hamikdash. Yeah, it's a unique thing in Metzora. That is, Odil Meshani Metzora, the Daesh Betumah. He was Amalei Shani. Right? So this is Rav Yosef answers Abaya, you're right. Shani Metzora, the Daesh Betuma. It's got nothing to do with proving anything about Ben Zoma. Covering the other unique machloket here with regards to Metzora. And the Metzora, because he's steeped in Tuma, therefore we're concerned he might become Tamei again. We make him Toivel. Okay. So Amale Abayla Rav Yosef. Now remember, we spoke over there, even though the Mishrash takes out this Rabbi Yehuda. I said, yeah, the Mishrash takes out, but we spoke over here that Rabbi Yehuda said. Then we saw in the Mishnah, we saw in the Aleph of Lamed yesterday, we had over there, Shalup Ben Zoma, what's the tefillah? He said, it's a Doraita. So we would have said, no, it's not a Doraita, it's a Shrach tefillah, just to remember the issues of Tumah. Right? The Gemara says over here, I'm going to abide Rav Yosef, so this tefillah over here, right? Zoi Chotzetz or Eno Chotzetz? Is it a tefillah that does chatzitza? In other words, is chatzitza a problem? If you go, let's say you go with a bit of clothes or stuff on your hands or whatever, since it's not a tefillah d'oraita, so to speak, do you have to worry about chatzitza? Right, look at Rashi points out, L'Rabbi Yehuda d'amr ibn eshrach tefillah ba'almihi. So Rashi basically puts back what the Masorah Shas took out of the Gemara. Okay? He says, V'yakon t'Rabbi Yehuda, pasle ba chatzitza k'shar tefillot? Is it, if you got chatzitza, something separating your skin from the water, is it make it pasle? Or dil mekevend ene ba'a ele la'askiro altum yishana? V'lo letar ba'a yibah, it doesn't come to actually metaher him. It's the whole idea of the tum is like a warning light. Lo pasle ba chatzitza. Maybe make the difference. You can go in a little bit of chatzitza, not end of the world. So amar lei, kol de tikkun rabbanan ke'ein doraita takun. Called the takun, I think they actually pronounce it. Called the takun, rabbanan ke'ein doraita takun. Have I got my Hebrew right there? Called the takun, yes, called the takun. I always say called the tikkun, but today with punctuated gemaras, you can pronounce it properly. Called the tikkun doraita ke'ein doraita. Write this down. This is a very important quote to know. Right, there's a bit of a machlok that I saw Stardust. I mean, the point is it only the Tanaim, also the Amoraim, or maybe only the Tanaim, doesn't matter. The bottom line is that when Chacham metaken a halocha, an issue of some kind, they always metaken it in the same format as a Doraita. So if midoraita, a tefillah is mitakevet because of a chatzitza, so then even this tefillah, which is a takana, the chatzitza will ma'akev it, which what brings me to what we spoke about yesterday. We asked a question of with the Kal Vachomer, who Robert remembered was a dayo. So I sent out, I think Robert found the Makor with Miriam, but I saw the Gemara. The Gemara is about coming daf kafe, which we learned. All I did is call right and dayo min adin avo min adin. It's a similar idea. If you got a Kal Vachomer, not a similar idea, but the same thing to know that a Kal Vachomer, you can't have a Kal Vachomer when you learn from the base, more than you learn from the base. In other words, in halacha, all these codes and klalim, etc., which come around to help us understand what's going on. The Gemara carries on. So I'm going to Abayda Rav Yosef. This is like we've seen a lot of Abayda Rav Yosef here. So far, we had the first discussion about Rav Yosef was about Netzer Rabbanan is Mecholek. Then Abayda Rav Yosef with regard to Tfilis and Chatzitza. Another question Abayda asked Rav Yosef. I'm going to Abayda Rav Yosef. We haven't seen this for quite a while, actually, Abayda Rav Yosef. And we discussed it a lot all the time. That Abayda grew up with Rabba. Was Abayda Israeli, like he's Rebbe and Rav Yosef. And Rabba, ultimately, were both Rashi Beit Rashi at different times. They were the Bari Plugta. This is different generations. So Abayda is the younger one asking Rav Yosef. Bia b'mikta shma bia olo. Once we're discussing here the idea of mikvah, right? So it says to him, what about bia b'miktzat, right? With bia b'miktzat, Rashi's over here, shma bia, le'inyan tefillah zo, with regards to tefillah, v'tzarich lidbol, and a person has to go into the mikvah. In ba'alach nis echad me'evarav la'azara. So let's say that you needed to do mikvah, you didn't go to the mikvah, I'm assuming now, and now you stuck one of your limbs into the Beit HaMikdash. Would you be considered a tameh? Is it the whole body I need to do tefillah? Or even for a limb you have to do tefillah? In other words, is a limb considered bia? Bia means coming into the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore one limb is already needs mikvah or not. If it's not shmei bia, then you might not need mikvah. If it's shmei bia, you would need mikvah. The Gemara says, he said, okay, he's amalei, behonot yochichos, I'll prove it to you from the Metzorah. Remember, we said the Metzorah comes there on the eighth day and he sticks his hands in through there into the Shar Nikanor and his feet that he can and etc. And he does all the blood stuff. So he says, Shehen Bia b'miktzat. That's not a full Bia. He isn't really coming into the Ezra. Well, I don't think that really proves our point, because I understood when we spoke earlier on about needing Azara was Harabayit. Wasn't it Harabayit? What did the Mishnah say? The Anadam Nichnas La'Azara. Ah, wow. It's the Azara La'Avoda. The mikveh is actually for the Azara for Avoda, not the Ezrat Nashim. It's a Kohen Kami. That's for me, it's a Chiddush. I don't know if any of you thought about this yesterday, but for me, in my mind, I just assumed it was mikveh for going to Harabayit, going to Beit HaMikdash. Here, the mikveh, the Mishnah is quite specific. Anadam Nichnas La'Azara La'Avoda in the Mishnah. Wow. And Avoda, look at Rashi. And Rashi actually says the love dafka adam nichnas la azara adjihitbo. Time first book says, not only azara, but not only avoda, but la azara. So that's his question over here. Would you, if you only stuck one limb into the azara, also he'd make me say, look, from the Metzorah we can prove it, because the Metzorah just sticks his hands through. And there, and, so right, and we saw over there, Vatanya Metzorah Tovel, Vomed Bashar Nikanor. So he has a proof. The Metzorah, he has to go to, that's where it was, that writer which we saw, the Machri Rayuri was a writer. Was it's the Metzorah Dafka, he has to do Tefillah, then go into the Azara. And he only sticks his hands in, that's Bia B'mitzah, it's obviously Shmei Bia. So now, right, the question asked the debate midrash. Mahu, again, we're still on the subject over here with regards to needing tefillah for the avoda. So a crazy question asked over here. I think I saw the Tosfot Yeshani mentions it. I made a mark of it. It's a hell of a long tale on Tosfot Yeshani. I made a mark over here, which I think is the part that's relevant to us. But we'll skip it now. Basically, he asked a question over here. If Ma'u Shia says Sakin Aruka V'Yishchot, what about a guy who doesn't go in a kohen, who wants to do shchita, he didn't, but he's not actually going to go into the azara to do shchita, or even a zar maybe, because remember a zar is a mutar b'shchita. He makes a long knife and he stands outside the azara and he somehow gets his knife inside and through this long knife. Now, Tosfot Yeshani over here says it's pasha that this isn't a real question, right? It's not going to happen. But it's the Gemara is asking over here. I saw somewhere, it's a hell of a long Tosfot Yeshani Maviah, but he says somewhere that it's clear this is not a real question. It's just, this is more like a question in theory, really. So he says like this, so what would you have to go to the mikvah or not? So Gemara says, you know what, Tibayla ben Zoma, Tibayla ben Zoma, we can ask this question with regards to ben Zoma. Ben Zoma was the one who said, like Rashi did, everyone has to go to mikvah. And regards to Rabbanan, right? And which Rabbanan? The Pligyad Ed Rabbi Yehuda. Right, there's a Rabbanan there that will cholek on Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda, v'amru kol adam lo ba'u tefillah. Remember that Tibari Rabbanan, the figure Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, not everyone goes to, or those Rabbanan who said only a Metzorah has to go to the mikvah. So it depends, that could be that they said not everyone, only a Metzorah. And Ben Zoma says, everybody. So Gemara says, Tibari Ben Zoma, let's hear according to Ben Zoma, adkan lo mechai Ben Zoma el gavai. So he said, maybe not. Maybe Ben Zoma said you only have to do a mikvah, go to the mikvah if you're actually going into the Azara, if you're inside. Aval Brai law, if you're outside, no. Or Dilma may, or maybe Atilim Shech, maybe even Ben Zoma will say no. Even if you're outside and you come in a shecht, you might end up forgetting that you can't get in. And since you're busy shecht, you're walking after your knife against you. You might have to go to the mikveh as well. So that's Ben Zoma. So we can't really prove it according to Ben Zoma. Tibar Rabban, let's see what Rabbanan would say about the knife. Tepliga led Rabbi Yuda. Alt kan lo kam Rabbanan hatam de lo kavid avoda. Why there? Because the guy, we said, only Metzora, the other guy didn't have to go to the mikvah because they weren't doing avoda. Aval hacher, the ka'avid avodah, maybe they wouldn't be muta, they'd have to go in. Or dear Meloshna, maybe make no difference. The Gemara says a taiku. So we don't actually have an answer to this. We don't know for certain what Ben Zoma would say and what Rabbanan, who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, would say. It's unclear whether they would come in. Now the Gemara goes back to the mikvah. Go back to the Mishnah. We spoke in the Mishnah about the tefillot. We said there in the Mishnah, we said, Chamesh tefillot v'asara kiddushin tova kohen gadol mekadesh bo bayom. Right? That five tefillas and 10 kiddushin on Yom Kippur. So it brings a brighter. This is a brighter which we saw already. Chamesh tefillot v'asara kiddushin. So there are five tefillas and 10 times of kiddushin that he does. Tovel kohen gadol mekadesh bo on Yom Kippur. V'chulan b'kdushat v'bayta parva, and all of them are b'kodesh. In the part of the Azara, in the Bet HaParva, on the roof of the HaParva, Chutz Mirishona, Shata B'chol, we saw yesterday, other than the very first one was done B'chol, Al Gabe Sharamayim, which was done there on the, remember we saw originally, we already saw the different mikvahs, we saw the Kohen Gadol had the two Lishakot where he stayed, and there was one mikvah right next to his house, etc. Ubetzad Lishkatoeta, and this mikvah, this Kodesh was right next to where he stayed. So Amar Abaya wants to learn from this. Shma mina ein itam. Now, if you saw, I sent out to the Daf Yomi WhatsApp group this morning a little blurb there from the Steinsaltz about ein itam. Now, if any of you have been ever, you can go, like when you go to Efrat, on the way from there to roundabout there, there's those pools, and these underground tunnels of water that comes all the way from there into Har HaBayit. Okay, that's just south of Bethlehem. So that's the approximation. We'll see Rashi says that. It's quite an amazing Rashi. If you think that Rashi never came to Israel, never lived here. Everything Rashi knows about Israel is from books. Okay, you'll see in a moment the description that he gives. It's phenomenal. So now, Enetam, he says, the water came, Enetam, must be Gavomi Karka Azari Shrim Vishloshamu, must be at least 23 Amas tall, higher than the area of Har HaBayit. Why? How does he know? Look at Rashi. Rashi's over here. You know, we'll come back to Rashi. He says, must be at least Gavomi Karka. How do we know that? Now we have a Mishnah. And we already saw this as well on Daf Tet Zayin. That call up Tachim, that was what we learned there about when they did the shechting of the Parah Aduma. And we saw the pictures of how the Kohen Gadol would be on Har HaZaitim and would look into Har HaBayit, be able to look into the Azar. We had the difference of the heights of the walls and why the first wall was lower than the other walls. Remember, we said that all the Ptachim in the Har HaBayit were 20 Amas high. So we started measuring from Har HaBayit, and you went up a couple of stairs, a few Amas into the Ezrat Nashim, and then a few then Shar Nikanor. Then we went into the Ezrat Yisrael. We had a machloket if there's another heart there or not. And we got about 23 and a half Amas, if you remember. It's quite interesting. 23 and a half Amas also was the distance in heart between the Har HaBayit and the Heichal. But now, so we're on in the Azara here, and we've been saying that the walls are 20 Amas, the doors are 20 Amas high. And we've got a mikvah on top of the roof. That's what the Gemara is saying. So we've got it now. Kol ha'ptachim shayu sham gevoha neshim amah, 20 amas high. V'rochvan, it's 10 amas wide. Chutz mi shel ulam, other than the actual door going into the ulam of the heichal. Right? And Rashi points out of it there, I think that was 40 amas high. Yirashi gevo arba'im v'rochvan, it was 40 by 20. But the rest of the walls and the doors around, all the other doors in the Har HaBayit were 20 amas high. And now this mikveh is above. So he says, right, V'tanya, we learned a brighter as well. This is a brighter, which is in Masech Erwin, we learned it as well, in Masech Psachim, that V'rachatz B'shom HaMayim, when the Pasuk says, V'rachatz B'shom, he has to wash his body in water, the Mei Mikvah, the Mei Mikvah, or it could be a Mayan, but in the Har HaBayit, there wasn't a Mayan, there was Mei Mikvah, right? Kol B'shom, his whole body, what does it mean? Mayim Shekol Gufo Laben, and how much is that? Ama Alama Barom Gimel, and we learned there, that the average Mikvah size, because you're going to put your whole body in, is basically 3 amas, right? 3 amas by 3 amas, amah by an amah, and 3 amas high. And that gives you around about the 40 say'ah that you need. And that's good enough for a person to go into the machloket. Does it mean that he's got to dunk it? Is it an average person's heart? We saw there as well. We spoke about it. Maybe when you go into the mikveh, the water goes up and you cover your body. That's the idea. Now, I saw that this morning, in the Hayarot of Shtadlatz, he mentions that a mikveh doesn't have to be a meter, an amma by an amma by 3 amas wide. It could be 3 amas by an amma and an amma deep, right? As long as you get to 40 amas. But because of the Kohen Gadol, you're not going to make him lie down in the mikveh. It makes more sense that the mikveh in Har HaBayit was a mikveh that you could walk into and stand in. So our assumption is that it was a 3 amma high mikveh by an amma by an amma. And it was on top of the wall. And the wall was at least with opening a door of 20 amas high. So the door is 20 amas, the mikveh is 3 amas high. Now we're going to get the water into that. That's what's going on over here. I'm not 100% if he actually asked me, we could challenge this, but he said like this. Okay, we're going to go back to the Rashi in a second of the Einei Tam. He says, the Gemara says, okay, so that's why we know that the Mayam, where the water came from, must have been 23 amas higher than the Har HaBayit, than Har HaBayit, because Har HaBayit, the door was 20 amas high, and above there was a mikvah of 3 hamas, and therefore we're assuming that the water came from at least above that to give us the flow to fill up the mikvah. The Gemara says, Vahaika amatik, but what about the actual amar of the ceiling? The ceiling of the roof above the door was a tikra. Va'amah maziva, and there was like a sealant on top of the roof, which allowed the water to run off and protected all the bricks, from all the brickery. Another amah. So you've actually got 2 amahs, so we're actually 25 amahs above. Look at Rashi. Ovi tikra al chalal ha'shar. Va'amah maziva, shil tit v'chalal mugbar yachad, mugbar yachad. It's like a whole sealant on the top. Liot maim nochin, so the water would slope off there, etc. So really we're 25 amahs high. You must say Sharin Bel Amigdash Kevan Deshishen in the matter of Shaiish, the gates, right? B'mashu Avdei Lehu. They would just be very thin. We never had actually a whole Amah thick on top of the gate. Someone says, "Vahai kaheach mashma." Is this little mashu? He says, "Kevin, didu abe amta lo chash." This is not ready. A whole amma, we ignore it. We don't read it. It's actually 23 ammas. Okay, that's what Abaya wants to tell. Rabbi said that he understands ein amma. Let's take a moment now and go back and look at how Rashi discusses where this ma'ayan was. Ein itam. I'm looking at Rashi here on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Go back. Ein itam. Mimenu ba'a amata maya bayit tfilat shara mayim shalachuma. From there the water comes all the way. Ulefi inyan ha-mikraot ni'al. He says, Ulefi inyan ha-mikraot, going to the mikraot. Rashi studied Tanakh. He says, based on what I understand from reading the books, shehu mayan mei naftoach. He says, that's mei mayan naftoach. Amur b'sefer Yoshua. He says, he's assuming that this is the main afuach mentioned in Sefer Yoshua, in Sefer Yoshua. Shemisham hagvul shaper v'yored lemizrach ulemarav. V'hu agavua b'chol Eretz Yisrael. That's basically where the gvul goes between Yudah and Binyamin. He says, that's the highest point, and from there starts sloping down to different sides, into Yudah on the one side, Binyamin on the other side. V'hu agavua b'chol Eretz Yisrael. That's the highest point in Israel, he says. Bahach milted Abaya Mishum Rebina Bizvachim. Why did Abaya mention this about this eight main etam? Because in Zvachim Daf Nundar it's Abu Lemivne Lebeit Hamidash Ba'ein Etam. It says the Gemara in Zvachim says that there, when David HaMelech was looking to build the Hamidash, he thought of building it Ba'ein Etam. Because he wanted to build in the highest point in Israel. Amre Nichtei Beipur. They said, you know what? The Pasuk says, it says, Uvein Teifav Shachen. It rests between the shoulders. Now the shoulders are not the highest part of the body. The head's the highest part of the body. So if we rest between the shoulders, let's go down and take the highest point of Israel and go down a bit. And then between Shechinav. Shechinav is Yehuda and Binyamin. So let's find the spot which is a little bit lower than Ein Etam. It doesn't explain where it is. And here in Zvachim, we never understood where that place was. They were thinking of building it. And here in the Abaya comes to put us to rest and explain to us now, this is the spot that we were speaking about. David HaMelech was thinking of building, but in the highest spot, you think of Ein Etam, that's where the water was. Then he said, they changed it a bit, find a little bit lower place. And now they both brought the water from there. That's amazing thing. Rashi was sitting in France, or wherever he was, in Vurims, and busy working out. And in the Chumash, you see as well, he writes descriptions on his parish and how they travel through the desert and the whole story. And he was never ever got here. What, Robert?
It's the highest spot in Israel?
Well, I don't know if it's the highest spot in Israel, because you got the Hermon, it might be a bit higher, right? Maybe the Hermon is in Golan. Maybe the Golan is not 100% Eretz Israel. But I think what he means is Jerusalem is the highest city. Everything looks up to Jerusalem, and therefore within Jerusalem area, that's the highest spot. That's where the water runs down. I'm not sure if it's measured exactly at the highest. Okay, so let's carry on. All right, so now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, yeah, parsu sadin shel bot. They put this like linen towel around the Kohen Gadol while he was in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, my shnash shel bot, why dafka bot? The Gemara says, kedav Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, later on we'll see this on Daf Lamed Hey, it's in a couple of Daf Tam, later on this week. On Lamed Hay Amud Aleph, doesn't matter. We'll get a minute there. He says there he speaks Kadesh about another avoda. Something. I thought about this. Why do they use dafka bots for the Kohen Gadol? Kadesh Yakir Shavodat Hayom the big day bots. Because you know normally the Kohen Gadol does all these avodas in the eight begadim which are gold, etc. On Yom Kippur, a lot of the real avoda, let's call it, which is unique inside the Heichal, the Kodesh Kodeshim, is all done in white clothes, in pure linen bots. To remind us that this is a day which is a little bit different to other days, he says, so too over here, Hachanamish Yakish of Rayom, the big day bots. Rashi says over here, Sheyesh Ayom Alav, Avodashi, the big day bots. This is the fish, and Ragil, Shreit, Belo Shimon, Begarim. It's not normal that he doesn't do all his eight clothes. And therefore, whatever they did today, in other words, the idea of the towel being a bot towel is lav dafka. If it was a towel made of wool or made of cotton or made of leather, it probably would be also okay. But there's a symbol, Robert, of Yom Kippur, of the bots that they use. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we get into a little bit of a technical story over here. This Mishnah becomes a bit technical. So just let's just try and follow. The Kohen Gadol arrives in Har HaBayit, right? He wakes up in the morning with Pashat Yarad V'Taval. So he takes off his clothes that he slept in, I suppose. Yarad goes into the mikveh V'Toivo and does Tefillah Allah V'Nistapeg. And then he gets up and he dries himself. Now it's quite interesting over here. You know, there's a machloket today about whether you use a towel on Shabbos or not. Because if you use a towel on Shabbos, you might squeeze out the water. The whole story. Yom Kippur is called a Shabbat Shabbaton. So I don't know. And yeah, it says quite clear that he dried himself. Okay, so yeah, it might be because he's not allowed to have any water on him. He's got to. There's all concern that he might get hana'a from the cold water, etc. So therefore, he's got to dry himself with it. But it's still interesting to think about that. I haven't got an answer. Rashi says, "Nistapek mit atef ba alontit." She'll beg it like a fabric. He spog mayim shel basaro to drop all the water. V'nistapeg v'nitkaner. He dries and cleans himself. Then heviu lo big day zahav. They bring him his golden clothes. V'lavash, and he dresses his clothes. So he's had a mikvah. Now he gets dressed. Now once he gets dressed, says Tana Kama, kidesh yadav v'raglav. He does kiddush. He washes his hands and his feet. Every time he changes clothes, kiddush lepshita and kiddush lelevisha, he needs a kiddush for getting undressed and a kiddush for getting dressed. Right? So we'll see that this is going to be what we're going to speak about. So now what comes? What's the order? So remember, we need a kiddush when you get undressed, you do wash your feet and your hands, and a kiddush when you get dressed. The question will be, when you're going to get undressed, do you first get undressed and then do the kiddush when you're undressed? Or do you do the kiddush while you got clothes on and then undress? And then get dressed and do a kiddush again. That'll be machlokes Meir and Chacham. We'll see it just now. But tefillah rishona zu sheiv shita, she'll big day cholu. Rashi says, and this what he does was his big day chol. Right? So lo hutshach lekadesh lapshita. That's why he didn't do a kiddush beforehand, because he came in the clothes from his house. These weren't his begadim that he was working in. So when he did the hafshata, the getting undressed from big day chol, he never had to do a kiddush adayim raglaim. You got it? Kiddush adayim raglaim is only between the shmone begadim and the white begadim. The four and the eight. The four and the eight, the four and the eight. When he goes from those two, before he takes off or on the hafshata, he has to do kiddush adayim and he gets dressed. But he came from his house there in big day chol, in his jeans and his t-shirt, right? He never had to do a kiddush adayim now. That's what Rashi points out, because we missed, you see, it says a pashat, yarad v'tabal. It didn't say, kidesh yadav raglav, pashat yarad v'tabal. Okay, that's Rashi answering that over there. Then evilo big day zav, lavash, he got dressed. Then v'kidesh yadav raglav. Okay, like we saw. Then heviu lo et ha-tamid, the word we call ben tamid, kertzo. And we already learned this the other day. We learned this the other day that the Kohen Gadol didn't finish the shechita because he had to do the Kabbalat Adam. Remember, he had to go and get the kli and come back. And therefore, he just did the rov shnei simanim, the majority of the two, the windpipe and the esophagus. Right? And then some other Kohen came and finished off the job, but he was running to get the kli, to come and collect the blood. That's what it says over here. Kertzo. Or Mirek Acher. This is somebody else came. Rashi says, Gamar, Kohen Acher, Shchita. Somebody else, another Kohen finished the Shchita. Lefi She'en Kabbalah Adam Ksheri Ele B'Kohen Gadol V'Tzrich Limaher L'Kabel. Because he has to do the Avodah for the day. He's only the Kohen Gadol. So you have to do Shchita. What you've done, Rov Shnei Simanim, is called Shchita. You can now go and get the Kli and come and do the Kabbalah. Kibelet Adam, he receives the blood. V'Zarko, he does Zrika on the Mizbeach. Nichnas laktir ketoret shel shachar. He then goes into the heichal, into the kodesh kodashim, to do the haktara. Remember, we saw the difference that tzedukim used to light outside and go inside. Notice the Mishnah says he goes inside to do the haktara. He lights it inside. Look what's happening over here. The order: he gets dressed, shchita, zrika, then he runs inside, does the haktara, right? Ketoret shel shachar. Rashi says over here, ketoret shel shachar, hayata kreva. We'll see in the Gemara. And then ulaktiv ktorot shel shachar v'lehetiv et ha-neirot. Once he's inside, he does the haktara v'ktorot shel shachar. He also prepares the candles v'lehakriv et ha-rosh v'et ha-evarim. And he does the hakrava on the mizbeach of the rosh, the head, and the limbs of the korban ha-ola v'ha-chavitin v'et ha-yayin. And the mincha of the Kohen Gadol and the yayin, which is the yayin from the korban tami. Remember, has nisuch ha-yayin. Okay, what's missing from here is the mincha of the Korban Tamid. The main chacham is missing. I saw a couple of Pirushim said that since the Gemara mentioned already the chavitin also have a mincha. Should we not mean, it didn't mention mincha twice, or because we mentioned the yayin, so it implies that there was the mincha and the sukkah yayin together. We didn't mention that again, but remember that at the same time, Avia is also doing the mincha of the korban of the korban atamid. Okay, then Mishnah tells us ketoret shel shachar ayata kraver bein dam leivarim. We saw that already. Right, the Torah of Shachar, he went inside, he first did the Kibul Adam and the Zrika, and then he did that, and then he did the Lakrivet HaRosh V'Tevarim. So we see that the Ketorah of morning is between those two Avodas, and Shoban Arbaim, the afternoon Ketoret, is between the Avarim and the Nesachim of the Korban Tamid Shoban Arbaim. So we'll get to that later on. Now the Gemara says, Imaya Kohen Gadol Zaken or Istanis, he was old, he was in Istanis. Right, meaning it was very particular. So mechamin lo chamin, they would warm up water. Rashi points out here, erev yontif. Chamin lo mayim mi-erev yom ha-kippurim. U-metidim b'yom ha-kippurim mitoch hakak binyan b'ed ha-tfilato. They put all the water there into the cracks. So we warm up the water slightly in the mikvah. U-metidim l'toch ha-tzonen, k'day sh'tafik, that time to get rid of the freezing cold. And therefore, he wouldn't have to suffer going to a freezing cold mikvah if he was all distance. It's quite interesting, this idea. I thought about it yesterday. Because you see that they make allowances for people when they get old. Now, it's nothing related, but you know, we can only learn from Kohanim of Basar Badam. There was the ceremony, I think yesterday before, with the Queen of the opening of Parliament in England. And part of the pomp and ceremony for the Queen opening the Parliament is that she wears the crown. So like a very royal crown. And that crown weighs about 2.5 pounds. And it's got to a stage where the Queen can't actually put it on her head. It's too heavy for her. So now I saw that they've got a solution. They have one of these like chambermen, whatever, that he actually carries the crown on a tray. And there's a special table there where they put the crown on the table next to the queen, and he stands guarding the crown. So I thought it was quite symbolic because I just learned this mishnah here that for the Kohen Gadol when he's old, they make allowances. When the queen gets old, you make allowances. The crown's meant to be on her head, but she's too old. They put the crown there. The guy's meant to get into the mikveh. The mikveh might be freezing cold. It's an old Kohen Gadol. They warm up the crown. You see that? There's a lot of similarities. Okay, let's go.
Darren, I was just thinking also the begadim, the golden garment. This is for Yom Kippur. It's not congruent to the fact that you don't use gold.
Of course it is, because it's in there. That's why when he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, Ein Kategor Nase Sanagor. In the Harabait, it's one thing, but when he goes into the Fnai Lifnim, he can't get with gold for that exact reason. Because it reminds us of the Agarazah. Right. So let's carry on. That's the Mishnah. Okay. Amrua Rabbanan Kamed Rav Papa. So Rashi points out, who are these Rabbanan? Rashi says, Talmidei Rav Papa Amru Kach Lefanav. It's not Stam Rabbanan, it's Rav Papa's Talmidim, said this to him. He says, ha, this Mishnah, the law, Rabbi Meir, is not Rabbi Meir. Normally we say Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. And this is a Stam Mishnah, there's nobody in here, there's no name of a Tana in this Mishnah, it's a Stam Mishnah. So the assumption is it must be Meir, but it can't be Rabbi Meir. This is an exception to the rule. Why is it not Rabbi Meir? So Rashi just gives us a heads up here. He says, "Ha, but nitin lo tanan be shnei kiddushim betvila rishona." That there are no two kiddushim in the first tvila, and therefore it's not like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir came under Amar trei kiddushe alevisha avidle. Rabbi Meir says that whenever they get dressed, if you remember the Rashi, go back to the Rashi, the second Rashi in the Mishnah, right at the top. Right, that was line number 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth narrow lines. We said there, Kiddush Yadav Raglav. We said, Binakir Kiddav Lakaman, Shechlechol Chalifot Bigde Hayom. Every time he changes clothes, he said, Kiddush Lepshita and Kiddush Lelevisha. There are two Kiddushim, but the one is for taking off the clothes and the one's for putting on the clothes. Now, and Rashi pointed out that when he got dressed the first time, why didn't we mention Kiddush Yadav Raglav there? Because it didn't apply to the Big Day Chol, remember? But he got dressed into a Big Day Kodesh. According to Rimei, there should have been a Kiddush Yadav Raglayim for getting dressed, not for getting undressed. They're two kiddushim for getting dressed. So look at the Gemara now. He says, Rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kevin, Ami Trey Kiddush Alavisha Abid Lehu Hachinami. So to ya. Le Abid Trey Kiddush Alavisha. He should have done two kiddushim and he did one kiddush. It said, Pashat Yarad V'Taval Alav Nistapeg. If you look at that, the body is golden clothes. V'Lavash V'Kiddush. Only one kiddush. There should have been two kiddushim. Rabbi Meir says, for every time you get dressed, there are two kiddushim. Rashi explained it because he was getting undressed from something else, and there's two kiddushim, one on getting undressed, one on getting dressed. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's two kiddushim on getting dressed. So Amale Rav Papa, Papa says to the Talmidim, he said, no, Bain, Rabbanan, Bain, Rabbi Meir, Chad Kiddush Apshita, the big day Kodesh, V'chad Alevisha. Don't get confused. Even Rabbi Meir says that there are two kiddushim, right? It's not two on Levisha. It's one on getting undressed and one on getting dressed. And there's no machloket. And he says that here, there's another machloket. This is the machloket. That was the machloket, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, whoever this is over here, is a machloket in understanding the pasuk. It's a gzer lakatuv. The pasuk says, Upashat v'rachatz v'lavash. Look in the psukim. Actually, more than one pasuk. It's Vayikra Tet Zayin, Psukim Kaf Gimel, and Kaf Dalet. In Kaf Gimel, it says, Uva Aaron El Oel Moed. Right? Now, remember that Tet Zayin is our Perek, is all Acharei Mot, and that's the whole story of the Kohen Gadol's Avodah Yom Kippur, right? So, in those Psukim at the moment, it starts Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, to Pasuk Lamed Dalet. So now in the middle there, we got Kaf Gimel and Kaf Dalet. This is Ubaron Oel Moed. Ufashat Bigdei Habad. He takes off his clothes. Asher Abbas Mevol HaKodesh V'Nicham Sham. So here we've got Ufashat. The next pasuk says, V'rachatz et Beshor B'mayim. He goes to the mikveh. He washes himself. V'Bagdav Yatzah V'Astar V'Lato V'Lata Am V'Chiper Bado V'Abato. Right. So hold on one second. So V'rachatz et Beshor B'mayim V'Kom HaKodesh V'Lavash et Begadav. So we've got in pasuk Kaf Gimel, it says, Ufashat, he gets undressed. Then the beginning of Pasuk Kaf Dalet says, V'rachatz, he goes to the mikveh. And then towards the end of Pasuk Kaf Dalet says, V'lavash, he got dressed. We've got Pashat, Rachatz, Lavash. Undressed, Rechitza, dressed. The question now is, how do we learn what from what? Everybody agrees that we've got three things taking place here. We've got Pshita, Afshata, getting undressed. We've got Rechitza, mikveh, and we've got Levisha getting dressed. Look what happens if he says, like this, Rapapa. He says, and if you could Rashi over here, he says, Ufashat v'rachat. No, I'll skip the Rashi, it's fine. He says like this, Rabbi Meir Savar, Mekish Pshita Levisha. We learn a hekesh from Pshita to Levisha. In other words, we learn from Levisha a din to Pshita, from getting dressed to getting undressed. Whatever you get dressed, Ma Levisha, Lovesh, V'achar Kach Mekadesh. Just when you get dressed, you first get dressed, and then you do Kiddush Yadayim while you're dressed. He says, Af Pshita, he says, so to Pshita, Rabbi Meir, Poshet, you get undressed, Ve'achar kach Mekadesh. And then you do the Tefillah. Right? That's what he says. If you look at Rashi over here, the second wide lines of Rashi, Upashat v'rachatz, v'rachatz v'lavash, Upashat b'gdei abad, asher lavash, v'samich lai v'rachatz v'beshor b'mayim imkom kadosh, v'lavash then he gets dressed, v'itlach katu v'chitza b'ayim shel levisha, and the pasuk put rechitza in between the pshita and the levisha. V'hai v'rachatz, d'arshin alei l'kam al inyan kiddush. Right? And that's why he learns two kiddushim. The shadinan v'rachatz v'pashat. We say that there's the wise rachatz in the middle of getting undressed and getting dressed. He says, because there are two kiddushim. There's a rechitza which goes on the apshita, v'alavash, and also on getting dressed. Ki'ilu keti v'rachitz trei zimnei. But if you look at Rashi's Dibur HaMatzil in the Gemara, he actually writes, u'pashat v'rachatz v'rachatz v'lavash. So because Rechitza is written in the middle of Pshita and Levisha, it's as if it says v'hifshit v'rachatz, v'rachatz v'lavash. So you get undressed, and then there's two rechitzas. So the question is, what goes after what? How's it go together? Rabbi Meir says that we learn from Levisha. And what's Levisha? First you get dressed, then you do Kiddush. So to Pshita, first you get undressed, then you do Kiddush. Now, I don't think that you stand there in the nude going to the place and do Kiddush Adam Rolayim, because the taps that you use are outside in the middle of the Azara. So I think it means you get undressed, and now you get dressed and you do Kiddush for the undressing, and you do Kiddush again for the dressing. I think. I might be wrong. Right? That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbanan Savre Makish Pshita Lelevisha. Right? The same thing. They also learn Pshita Lelevisha, but they learn it differently. Ma Lelevisha Kshulavush Mekadesh. A Pshita Kshulavush Mekadesh. So Rabbi Meir said, no, first you get dressed, then you get Mekadesh, so you get undressed. Rabbanan said, no, just like Lelevisha, while you dressed, you do Kiddush. So to Pshita, while you dressed, you do Kiddush before you take it off. The Rebbe will say, you take off the clothes and you do the Kiddush for the Pshita. Chachamim say, no, you do the Kiddush and then you get undressed. And then you get dressed and you do the Kiddush. That's what I think is going on over here. That's what Papa wants to say to these Talmidim. So Amrule, Rabban Rapapa, Chachamim said to him, what are you talking about? Umi Machida Martachi, how can you start? Rapapa got an amazing svara over here. He wants to say that the machloket is how to understand the pasuk. When the pasuk says v'fashat v'rachatz v'lavash, he says Rabban Rabbi Meir learns this way, Rabban Dan learns that way. Chachamim is talmidim said to him, how can you say that, Rabbi? Umi Machida Martachi, look at Rashi. The law Machich Rabbi Meir at Bila Rishon at Trei Kiddusha. How can you say? And therefore, according to him, contra Rapapa, turns out that on the first Levisha, right, Rabbi Meir won't demand a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Why? Because it's not on the Pshita over here. It's only when he gets dressed. And because the Pshita was from Big Day Chol, he won't mind. He said, how can you say, we said, we got a brighter, a first brighter. Parsu Sadin Shabbat V'Lubayna Am. They said, put around this blanket around him. Pashat V'Yarad V'Taval. Alav V'Nistapeg. And then he got undressed. See, actually he was in the nude, right? Then Pashat V'yarad V'tidut Tefillah. Alav is faith. Then he got up and got dressed. That's our Mishnah. Have you lo big day bought? Zahav. They bought his golden clothes. V'lavash. Then he got dressed. V'kidesh yadav raglav. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Meir Omer. What's Rabbi Meir saying? Rabbi Meir says, no. Pashat. He's in the morning, the first clothes. V'kidesh yadav raglav. Rabbi Meir says there's a brighter here. That Rabbi Meir says that he arrives in the morning in his big day chol, in his jeans. He takes off his jeans and he does Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And only after Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, V'Yarad V'Taval, then he doinks in the mikvah. Then Alav Nispeh gets up and he gets dressed. And then a little big day zav, they bring his golden clothes. V'Lavash V'Kidesh Yadayim, he does another Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the first brighter over here, that even that Rabbi Meir says straight out that the first dressing in the morning, he has to do two kiddushim, even though it's not Big Day Kodesh, and it's got nothing to do with this. Give my makish from there, the whole story is all story. So Amar Sari Papa says to his Talmidim, he says, no, Itanya, Tanya, what can I tell you? I had a good svara, but if there's a brighter, I was wrong. Okay, so you must be right. Look at Rashi over here. Amalei says to them, Itanya behedya de machich le trekush da iftanya. If there's such a brighter, then there's a brighter. He says, we could have worked it out that they're both going Levisha. But if it isn't a mission that says it straight out, he says, bottom line is, Rabbi Papa concedes to his Talmidim that really it's not Rabbi Meir commented on our Mishnah, because Rabbi Meir is a Mefurish Braita, which said that he demands two Kiddushim, one before and one after, and not like our Mishnah at all. And end of the day, we will leave it at that.